Hello yet again, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to yet another really good revision history podcast with me, Mr. Hutchison. And we are looking today at the consequences of the Third Crusade. So previous bunch of podcasts have all been about what happened, all the history, Rich's journey to the Third Crusade, the various battles, including Acre, Jaffa, or Suf, okay, and how the Third Crusade ends, ultimately without Richard capturing Jerusalem. Okay, so Richard's first victory at Acre, the opening battle, the siege at the port of Acre, is June 1191. The Treaty of Jaffa, which ends the crusade, ends the Third Crusade, is July 1192. So Richard has been away fighting in the Holy Land for just over a year when he negotiates the treaty with Saladin and decides to return home. Remember, at this point, he has had word that his brother had betrayed him. Prince John had betrayed him and had allied with his enemy, Philip II, Philip Augustus, the King of France. And the two of them were working on taking Richard's kingdom. Philip is attacking Richard's lands in France, the Angevin Empire, and John has been attacking lands in the south, which is really what made Richard kind of hurry or rush the end of the crusade. Okay, so Richard is now returning home, 1192. He doesn't make it there, okay? He is actually captured on his way home by Leopold, Duke of Austria. Now, if you've been listening to the podcast series, you'll remember Leopold. Leopold was Duke of Austria, Portent Baron, who, after the victory of Acre, raised his banner alongside that of Philip and Richard. Richard was the one that had his banner ripped down and dragged through the mud, because although Leopold is an important baron, he's not a king. So Richard did not see him as being on equal terms as Richard and Philip. So saw it as extremely arrogant, raising his banner alongside the two kings. So has it dragged through the mud. Okay. That's who he's captured by, folks. He's captured by Leopold, Duke of Austria, who sees this as a wonderful opportunity for revenge. Okay. Richard had many enemies in Europe. Okay, many of the kings in Europe backed Conrad of Montferrat to be the next king of Jerusalem. Now, even though Richard and the Crusaders never took Jerusalem back, they were still arguing over who should be the next king. Remember, Richard wanted somebody called Guy de Lusignan, and Leopold and Philip wanted somebody called Conrad of Montferrat. And you'll remember Conrad was killed by assassins whilst he was on the Third Crusade with Richard in 1192. Many people blamed Richard. It looked suspicious. You know, this is the guy that Richard didn't want to be king. Now he ends up dead, stabbed to death in the Crusader camp. You know, it's entirely possible they were assassins sent by Saladin. But Richard took the blame for this. Many people saw this as being Richard's fault. Many people saw this as, you know, many people saw the possibility that Richard was directly responsible for this, to get him out of the way so he couldn't become king. All right. Unfortunately for Richard, Conrad of Montferrat, who was murdered, was also Leopold's cousin. So Richard has offended Leopold. Leopold's gone home. And then Conrad remains on the crusade, and then he is stabbed to death. So Leopold blames Richard for the death of his cousins. Not only does he feel shamed that he's had his banner ripped down and dragged through the mud, but he also blames Richard for the murder of his cousin. So Leopold has lots of, you know, a perfect motive for capturing Richard and getting revenge on him. Okay? So Richard is captured and he's imprisoned by Leopold. Now, Leopold has no intention of harming Richard. You'll remember that that's not the done thing in medieval times, folks. You didn't just kill prisoners. Okay? You didn't do that. what you did was ransom them back for money, and you actually got more money the more important the captive was. Richard is the most famous man in all of Europe. He's a medieval celebrity, and he's a king, not just of England, but of the Angevin Empire, and he can literally command a king's ransom. That means a lot of money. So Leopold must have been loving this. What a great stroke of luck. He's got the opportunity to get revenge on Richard and make a lot of money out of it as well. So this was perfect for him. Poor Richard is captured and put imprisoned in a nice place, but still imprisoned. Okay, he is not free. Now this is extremely dangerous to Richard, because whilst Richard is absent, John has the opportunity to seize control of the Angevin Empire. Now, John's alliance to Philip II of France is solidified in January 1193, where John does, well, the ultimate treachery towards his brother. He actually pays homage to Philip II for the lands in the Angevin Empire. So now John is Philip II's vassal, and as part of the agreement, he promises to marry Alice. Now you'll remember Alice. Alice is Philip's sister. Alice was promised to Richard, but Richard married Berengaria as well. Okay? So John now is Philip's vassal. He's allied with him. He's promised to marry Philip's sister. He gets support of Welsh and Flemish mercenaries. These are paid soldiers. He rebels and he takes over some of the castles in the south of England, including Windsor Castle and another castle, an important castle called Wallingford. So now John is in open rebellion against his brother. He's allied with Richard's biggest enemy. And all the while this is going on, Richard is captured by Leopold and being held as a hostage. So this is really bad news for Richard. Now, Leopold does agree to release Richard. He does agree to release him, but for the sum of 100,000 marks. Now, it doesn't sound, I mean, it's a lot of money, right? But it doesn't sound that bad. But I'll try and put that in perspective for you. 100,000 marks was twice the yearly income of all of England. Twice. So all the money that England makes in its entirety, Leopold was asking for twice that amount. This is an astronomical ransom. Okay? Some historians think it's about 2 billion in today's money. All right? That's what Leopold wants to release Richard. Eleanor of Aquitaine, Richard's mother, returns to England and sort of goes about, well, lands in the Angevin Empire and goes about sort of collecting this money. So a 25% tax was introduced and put on all goods and property for the whole population. So thinking back to the feudal system, peasants, villeins, barons, knights, everyone. Everyone within the feudal system, within the Angevin Empire, was taxed 25%, a quarter of the worth on all goods and all properties. That is a huge amount. A huge amount. Okay? Now, you would think that that would make Richard massively unpopular. But actually, despite the fact Richard himself had taxed people heavily before he went on crusade by levying the Saladin tithe, despite that, most of the barons supported Richard. You know, this is part of knight service, folks. This is what you did. You paid the ransom when your king is captured. Richard's captured. So they pay it. Eleanor of Aquitaine takes charge of collecting the money. And she raises it. It's absolutely incredible. They managed to raise the 100,000 marks needed. Okay, it takes a while. I mean, Richard is captured in around December 1192 on his way back from the crusade, and he's released around February 1194. So he spends just over a year in prison, He's been on crusade for just over a year, so he's now been away for 2 years. Okay, and although his brother was rebelling and he had lost lands in the Angevin Empire to Philip, you could argue here that the fact that the Angevin Empire managed to raise the 100,000 marks, such a huge sum of money in medieval times, okay, shows what a great country England was in terms of, you know, how solid it was, how stable it was. The fact that the system of government that Richard left in place managed to raise such a huge amount of money shows that the system Richard left worked. I mean, during this whole course, you've got to be judging Richard and John in terms of their kingship. Were they good kings? Were they bad kings? And, you know, a sort of easy way to criticize Richard would be to talk about the fact that he was never there. You know, he's barely visited the country. He's been there once by this part of the course, and that was for his coronation. Okay, then pretty much as soon as he could, he raised money and went off on crusade. But the counter argument to that is he knew what he was good at. He was a warrior. He was a fighter. Okay, he wasn't as good at administration, at looking after the country, running a government. So he left that to the people that were good at that. You could argue that makes him a good king. All right. Now, anyway, despite this argument, despite whether this makes him a good king or a bad king, what is clear is the fact that England's finances took a huge hit because of the ransom. Okay. Richard is released on the 4th of February 1194 after the ransom is paid. But the country was hurt hugely in terms of its finances, and the country is still recovering from the deficit 5 years later when John comes to power. I want you to bear that in mind when we move on to John, okay? He gets a lot of bad press, and to be fair, he deserves a lot of it. But, you know, to be fair as well, he does take over a country that is pretty much bankrupt. And that's Richard's doing. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that's been useful to you. I hope that's outlined the potential consequences of the Third Crusade. Remember AO2 as part of your explanation when it comes to exam questions. Consequence, importance, what happens as a result of, they should be your focuses. AO1 is describing the history, so you describe what happens on the way back from the Third Crusade. Your AO2 would be talking about the consequences, the importance of those, how the country was affected, how the kingdom was affected, how that sort of affects you know, the judgment of whether or not Richard was a good king. Those are the sort of areas of focus you need to really focus on during 12 mark and 16 mark questions. So I hope that's been useful to you. As always, keep working hard, keep plugging away, and we will see you next time. I did say Richard was going to die in this podcast. No, he's survived. He's managed to survive, but mark my words, doesn't live much longer. He's definitely going to pop his clogs in the next podcast. So I hope you'll join me for then. All the best, ladies and gents. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.